It's the diagnosis that no one ever wants to receive, but one that an estimated 1.3 million people face every year. Breast cancer is the most prevalent cancer in the world, striking women and men of every age and race. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Arizona Spotlight is proud to bring you Voices for the Cure, an opportunity for some of the countless people whose lives have been touched by breast cancer to share stories of courage, love, and hope. Amanda Nabor and her sister Terry Lara are very close, growing up in an Arizona family that placed emphasis on togetherness and the importance of faith. These qualities were put to the test in 2006, when Amanda first became aware that something might be wrong during a self-exam. The battle ahead and the subsequent journey to healing would be very hard on Amanda, both physically and spiritually. But as we'll hear, she never had to face it alone. Terry will be asking the questions, but Amanda begins.
My work had moved to Phoenix, so I was staying with you there in Casa Grande. When I felt the lump, I had also started to feel tired. By the end of the day, I was exhausted. I would get to your house and I had to take a nap. You would get home from work, we would fix dinner. After we would clean up, I would go take another nap in order to have enough energy to take a shower. I also had this constant cough. At that point, my body was telling me I was ill, and our body talks to us, and it's very important that we listen. But I didn't associate my being exhausted and my cough with me having cancer.
Teresa called me and said, "Don't say anything to my mother." She says, "But can you talk her into getting, you know, a mammogram?" And I was shocked, and I asked you if you wanted to go and have a mammogram with me, and we both went together, and unfortunately, you had a bad mammogram. And we were fixing dinner, and the doctor called you, and it was already after hours. What did you think at that time?
Well, due to it being late in the day, it was already after 5:30, and I spoke to his receptionist, and he told me the doctor wanted me to go to his office immediately. He wanted to see me that day, regardless of what time I got there. He was going to be waiting for me, and at that point, I knew the news was not going to be good. Us four sisters have always been very close. We've always done everything together. So on my way home, I called Rosemary, who lived out of town. I told her what was going on. I called Lupita, who lives in Coolidge, and I told her what was going on. I knew I was going to have a battle in front of me, and the three of you were going to be my soldiers. We were going to fight this together. When I got home, I broke it to the family, and it was very difficult for them. We had lost Armando, my son, in a car accident several years before, and that had devastated us. I knew right away that I was going to fight. I couldn't imagine my family, Frank, Teresa, or Gabe, losing another family member.
I went to the oncologist with you and Frankie, your husband, and the doctor said they could do a lumpectomy or a mastectomy. But she said if they do a lumpectomy, she couldn't assure that they were going to get everything. Why did you decide on the mastectomy?
Well, my first surgery was a lumpectomy, and they had established what they call margins. And when she received those results, she told me the cancer cells were beyond the margins they had established, and I could have another lumpectomy, but we would continue with that process. And at that point, I chose a mastectomy. I wanted to know that I was getting all the cancer that was growing in my body. That was a hard decision, but I wanted to live.
You know, I went with you to all of your cancer treatments, and you were always so up. You know, I remember your doctor saying that you were the prettiest patient she's ever had that had cancer, but you've always made a point to look nice. And were you doing it for yourself, for other people? you never showed pain. You never showed anguish, frustration. You never showed anything. But you always dressed up so nice still.
I think that was a part of our upbringing. My dad and mom always taught us to be proud of ourselves, to be proud of who we are, the way we look, the way we behave. And because I was being treated for cancer, I wasn't going to put that aside. I was still going to try to continue to be who I am. A lot of times I didn't feel that way after I lost my hair. And saying I was tired was an understatement. I was exhausted. I felt like I was in a shell of what my body was. I wasn't able to do a lot of things physically that I was able to do. My emotions were different than what they were before. I felt like I was in an alien body. It was me inside, but that wasn't my body outside.
It was a long road for you. With the radiation, I saw your back, and it looked like charcoal. Did it feel like a sunburn? Did it feel like you had burned yourself? Did you have pain?
It was painful because the radiation is burning your body to get rid of any stray cancer cells, and it's so strong that it goes through your body. They radiated my chest area, but it also burnt my back.
When did you start feeling better about yourself and your whole being?
I would say it took maybe up to a year, and even after that, it took several years before I could say that I was starting to feel normal. The chemo stays in your body. Your immune system remains low. When I started my treatment, there was a lot I didn't know. Doctors try to explain as much as they can what you're going to be going through, but your body goes through so many drastic changes that you're puzzled by what you're going through. For example, where I work, I've met three women that have been diagnosed with breast cancer, and I tell them what to expect, what they're going to go through, because it's scary. Unless you've experienced certain things in life, people can say, I know what you feel, but you don't. That's a phrase I don't use. I don't tell people, I know how you feel, unless I've actually gone through their experience. And people are well-meaning when they tell me, I know how you feel, for lack of a better statement. But I've learned not to say that because I don't know what they feel or what they're going through. When I told you that I had cancer while you were there with me, I know you probably had phone calls with Rosemary and Lupita. How did the three of you feel? I mean, we've always been a team. It's always been the four of us.
Well, when I went with you to the doctor, my heart sank when he said you had to see an oncologist. And I was thinking, why Mandy? You know, she's a good person. She's gone through it a lot already. And then when I was talking to my sisters, we were all devastated, but we said we cannot show her our weaknesses. We have to be strong for her because she's being strong for everybody else. I said, she's one person and we're so many, you know, giving her hope and support. Me, myself, at first, I felt that I was angry at God because I thought, she's gone through so much already. Why is she going through more? But God gives us strength. He gave us strength to help you through this, and you've done wonderful. You've got a beautiful family, and you're beautiful again. Not that you weren't, but you got here.
I remember talking to you girls, and I felt I got strength from you two, as well as Lupita, being the youngest one. I felt like I would draw strength from you.
You know, when you lost your hair and everything, and I had said, and Rosemary, my other sister, had said, we were going to shave our heads, you know, in support for you. Except our little sister said no. Yeah. She said she'd give you a kidney and part of her liver, but she said, I don't want to shave my head.
Well, I knew I was going to be losing my hair, and I knew I had support from all of you. And I told you not to shave your head. It was enough that I was going to be seeing myself with no hair. I didn't want to see the three of you with no hair.
I didn't tell you then, but Martina, I was so relieved when you said, and don't shave your head. I go, oh God, I was going to have to be wearing wigs.
That was Amanda Nabor, interviewed by her older sister, Terry Lara. Today, Amanda works for Fry's Grocery Stores and is quick to offer her time to talk with and help those who are facing their own cancer fight. Terry is a barber in Casa Grande, and I think she's one of the sharpest interviewers I've heard. Voices for the Cure is made possible in association with the Southern Arizona affiliate of Susan G. Komen for the Cure. More information is available online at komen.sa.org.